When you think of burgers, you probably think of sizzling beef patties. And there's plenty of those on the grill at the Midtown Barbecue Restaurant, Q39. But more and more, even the meatiest of menus in Kansas City are making room for the vegetarian palate. I'm Hannah Copeland, in for Gina Kaufman on KCUR Central Standard. Today is our annual Burger Show, and our critics will bring you their latest picks in and around Kansas City for a juicy patty and their favorite sides besides fries. But first, we're going to pay a visit to Q39 in the Volker area, where the chef demonstrates his take on a meatless burger.
Vegetarians, we probably have about, I don't know, anywhere between 5 and 10% vegetarians coming in. Not only vegetarian, gluten-free items, I've seen a big push in gluten-free. Healthy eating also, even though, you know, you come to a barbecue restaurant. So what we're going to do is start off with chickpeas, and I'm going to put that in a BCM. So I put that in right now. Then we're going to go ahead and add our cilantro. Look at all that fresh cilantro. And now we're going to add some Japanese breadcrumbs. What it's going to do is pull it together. We're going to take that patty, we're going to lay that on the grill, and we're going to cook it for about 4 to 5 minutes on each side. Now we're going to take that nice golden brown veggie burger, cook just right. You don't want to overcook it or it'll dry out. So it's just like a burger. Make sure you cook it to the right temperature. We've got mixed greens with a little bit of pickled onions and balsamic vinegar, which gives it another layer of flavor. And then the tomatoes. So we make sure we season everything before we assemble it. What happens is a lot of times somebody makes a great burger, but they fall apart when it comes down to the lettuce and tomato and what kind of spread you want to do. And put that bun right on top. And there you go.
That was Chef Rob McGee at Q39. We'll have a recipe for his chickpea veggie burger on our website later today in case you want to try it at home. For another local take on a veggie burger, joining us in studio today is Craig Howard, owner of Howard's Cafe, Grocery, and Catering, located in the East Crossroads in KCMO. Welcome, Craig.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks.
Craig, you operate 3 businesses out of 1 location. So what made you want to take on 3 separate foodie businesses all at once?
Well, I think they all play hand in hand with each other. They kind of each feed each other. We get a lot of great fresh produce from the farms, and we want to be able to display it and have people see it and not just kind of hide it away in our walk-in. And it's just a good way to kind of share, you know, the ingredients that we work with and being kind of transparent and letting people see the good stuff.
Do you think you truly use all your ingredients for all 3 of the businesses, the cafe, grocery, and catering?
Yep. Yeah, we you know, focus a lot on, work with a lot of local farms. We I love growing veggies too, so that's going to be more and more a big part of our business as we get the raised beds on the roof and kind of install more of the garden on site, and so I'm excited about that. And we love working with the local farmers. It's just more fun, and it's fresher, it tastes better, and you can taste the final product.
Do you sell your own veggies that you grow right now?
Right now we use a lot of the herbs that we have in the garden, in the cafe, but we don't have the production to really sell vegetables that we're growing.
Sure.
And hopefully we'll add a hoop house and start doing more production next year.
Right, so that's on the list.
Yep. And this year was kind of about getting the cafe going and make sure we're doing a really good job with the food and just kind of focusing on that aspect.
In 2012, you owned and operated a 24/7 members-only grocery store on Hospital Hill. Why did you open that instead of a traditional grocery store?
I think it was just a way to brainstorm ways to cut some of the cost out and to be. I think trust is a really good thing to have in customers, and that way the customers will trust you back. And it was just a really good way to kind of cut out a lot of the overhead and save time and money. And so that way I could be out, you know, weeding the garden or planting tomato plants or doing something else that's really important to do, and just allowing the customers to create that community of trust and being able to, just share the food and not have too much overhead with it.
Sure. So you cut your overhead by the members only aspect of the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. And just not having somebody there to, you know, people are smart. They didn't need me to like check them out like a bag of arugula or something. So.
Oh, okay. So this looks different then. This isn't walking into a grocery store at 3 a.m. and there's a bunch of cashiers there checking.
No,
you out.
A lot of.
What's it look like?
A lot of times you would go in and you'd be totally by yourself in there, and so you would fill out your own ticket, weigh your own produce. A lot of it was weighed out in bags already, and then you could pay with your smartphone or with a check or cash, and had a little change jar out for people, and yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, so you've transitioned from that grocery store now, and you've moved to your traditional grocery store at Howard's, correct?
Well, the grocery is going to be, it'll be kind of like farmer's market inventory plus mm-hmm. some dry goods. So it'll be really similar to the last grocery, but, we're really excited about the new location. It's, we love being on Oak and,
yeah.
It's, having the cafe in the same, on the same, property really cuts out a lot of, it lets us focus on, making really good food. And we had when we were at Hospital Hill, I was also renting kitchen space at Bad Seed and doing caterings out of there and serving food at their farmer's market. So this new location is about getting everything that we were doing for the past 4 years and kind of getting it all in one location. And it's exciting. I love it over there.
You've been open for 8 months now. What's the biggest surprise you've had so far running the business?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. It's I mean, it's all been really satisfying, and you know, a lot of times that sometimes I joke with my friends, like sometimes it's surprising, like, oh, all these people are coming for lunch. Like,
the customer's the biggest surprise.
We created this this space out of nothing and installed the kitchen, and it was a lot of hard work, and it's just really like surprising and satisfying to have people that meeting new people coming into the cafe and just like connecting with the new customers. And it's just like, oh, we're cool. We're really doing it. So
for your cafe, there's 5 items on the menu online, and 2 of them are burgers. And that's a pretty big ratio, 2 out of 5 on the menu. So what is it that you love about burgers so much to make that such a big part of your menu?
Well, it's a classic, you know, American Midwest ingredient. We get ground beef from Golden Rule. It's in Walker, Missouri. So just being able to use burgers go hand in hand with Midwest ingredients, and it lets us highlight kind of the local produce, and it's a familiar menu item for people. And ours is, you know, a pretty classic burger, but it's we do a little bit of some different twist on it, like the house made American cheese and pickled veggies. So it's I think everybody most people like a good burger, and so we just do a good job the best we can with it.
Tell me about your traditional meat burger called the griddled burger.
So it's two thin patties, and we cook it on the flat top, and it gets nice and browned, and it's gets a nice crust on there. Then as soon as we flip it over, we put our house-made American cheese on mm-hmm. there, which is wonderful because it has that gooey meltiness, but it doesn't have all the extra stuff that you don't want to be eating in it, that's in a lot of American cheese. So.
Because you made it.
Yep. So it's that gets nice and melty, and it's just really good beef. And each ingredient, we just try to make sure that we think about and make sure it's going to be, you know, a quality ingredient. And when you put them all together, it makes a quality product.
And there's one other burger on your menu. Which one's that?
That's the veggie burger.
And I understand that you made 50 or 60 variations of the veggie burger before you settled on one.
Yeah, probably something like that. I didn't keep track, but I know there was a lot of it might have been more. So
really,
there was a lot of different. It was just really important to get a really solid recipe that was easy to replicate, so it tastes, you know, really good each time that you come in and get it. And just finding the right mix of textures and flavors is it can be difficult. So it's and so over the winter that was just like a really good project to like focus on and make sure that it was the right one.
Sure. So can you walk me through the process of finding the right recipe? Because I'm picturing you in your kitchen blindfolded with 60 different patties and you just kind of pick one, but I don't think that's actually how it works. So what does it actually look like trying to find that?
Yeah, a lot of it is just going to a grocery store, to the bulk bins. Like I would just go get, you know, 15 different grains and beans and then cook them all off and then make a bunch of different mixes and see which ones kind of held together better and which ones complemented each other. And it was it's really important to find the right consistency so it doesn't get mushy and kind of fall apart as you're eating it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to weigh everything out and write it down exactly so you know what you did so you can replicate it. Or not replicate it, and you can switch it around a little bit from there. So,
and how long did it take for you to find this one veggie burger recipe?
It was kind of over the course of a few months, like over winter. So while we were waiting to start working on the new space over on Oak, there was a lot of time to think about the menu and think about which ingredients we wanted to highlight, like the grass-fed beef. So you start with that ingredient and kind of work from there. And so it was over the course of like a few months of like planning and which was really important to do. And because once you kind of get the cafe going, you're kind of going along and it's hard to take time to do like the research. So doing the research up ahead on the front end is super important, I think.
Absolutely. So tell me, what does your veggie burger taste like?
It tastes like it has some umami flavors
what
in it.
What is that?
So it's kind of like the there's like the fifth taste. It's almost like a meaty flavor, like a flavor profile. And a lot of that comes from these really great wild chanterelle mushrooms that we get from just outside of Warrensburg, from Jeff and Barbara Fetch and Hire. And we actually just got about 40 pounds in, and so we use those in the veggie burger mix, and that gives it kind of like a meaty aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good. It's crispy and nice and kind of what you want from a beef burger. And
yeah, well, how important is that for a veggie burger to taste like meat?
It's not that important. I mean, there's a lot of different variations and there's a lot of really good ones. And so I don't think it necessarily has to taste like meat, but it's the texture is kind of the main,
right?
I think the most important thing to get right.
But you chose to give yours a meaty flavor.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like one of the background flavors. So it's not, the choice was more to not add a bunch of spices or herbs to it.
Mm.
'Cause you don't do that with a beef burger. So
true.
We really wanted to have the veggie burger patty, taste like the veggie burger patty and not, coriander or anything like that. So there's no spices except for salt and pepper. And then that patty kind of interacts with the rest of the sandwich as a part of the flavor profile, and there's not too much going on with it. And you can taste the pickled veggies and
yeah,
just kind of letting the ingredients kind of speak and taste for themselves.
So you've highlighted a lot about the texture of the burger and how some burgers are, veggie burgers that is, are crumbly or mushy. but just don't have the same consistency of beef. But yours is not crumbly or mushy. So how did you avoid that?
It was finding the right binding quality. So we have quinoa, brown rice, green lentils, and red beans. Mm-hmm. And they're all kind of cooked a different, like some of them are cooked a little bit more than you would for if you're just cooking them to eat as traditionally. So the red beans, then we puree those up with the really nice chanterelles, and that gives it, helps it hold together when it's cooking. And there's a little bit of gluten-free flour in there too as a binding agent.
Okay.
And but everything in there is vegan and gluten-free if you don't get the cheese. And so
was that important for you to make it vegan and vegetarian at the same time?
It's not, for me personally, it's not, I'm not vegan or vegetarian. Mm-hmm. I don't eat a ton of meat, but, I know it's really important to a lot of people, and it's, so that makes it really important for us to be able to, serve good food to, you know, everybody. And it's also doesn't have to be vegan. So it comes with, you know, the, our house-made mayo, based, burger sauce and and the American cheese. So it's not vegetarian or it's not vegan, but it can be. So I think that's important to have it be flexible that way.
And you said, do you pickle your own veggies?
Yep. Yeah, it's just a rotating mix throughout the year, just kind of depending on what's fresh and available. And so, you know, in the wintertime, there might be butternut squash. And right now there's a little bit of broccoli. We always like to put onions in it as kind of like the anchor ingredient to the pickled veggies. But there can be, you know, radishes or, you know, any number of vegetables in there.
Right. What's the hot seller right now? Are you selling more meat or more veggie burgers faster?
It's kind of a throw, depending on the day. I mean, sometimes the fried chicken sells more. A lot of times the veggie burger sells more. It's really, out of those three, it's kind of a toss-up when you go into it, which one you're going to sell more of. But since we only have, since we have a small menu, we can focus on having each one be really good. So there's not one that's doesn't, that people are like, oh, well, that why get this when we can get this? So every time you come in, you can get a good sandwich and be happy.
Excellent. Craig Howard of Howard's Cafe, Grocery, and Catering. Thanks for coming in and making me so hungry.
Yeah, thanks.
Take care. When KCUR Central Standard returns, the food critics are here to enlighten us with some of their favorite burger destinations and take a look at alternatives to sides besides fries. That's all ahead in just a minute. I'm Hannah Copeland in for Gina Kaufman, and this is our annual burger show on KCUR Central Standard. We've been hearing about the intricacies of crafting a veggie burger, and now it's time to open up the table to our meat eaters and veggie lovers alike. First, let's welcome our critics, Mary Block of Around the Block. Hello.
Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning. And Charles Ferruza from The Pitch. Good morning.
Thanks, Hannah. Glad
and,
to be here.
Yeah. Jenny Farrega of Feast Magazine.
Hi.
Nice to have you. Did I mess up your last name?
That's okay. It's like Sofia Vergara.
Vergara. Okay, beautiful.
You look alike, too.
She's my, you know, fabulous older sister.
I know there's a lot of, there's some omnivore out there dying for us to just cut to the beef. So let's start with our traditional tasting Kansas City burger picks. Charles, what do you have on the top of your most traditional tasting burger today?
Well, all of my list is pretty traditional, but I'd be amazed if, no, maybe I wouldn't be, if anyone else on this panel had been to the Humdinger Drive-In on 9th Street. Jenny, maybe you. You're kind of an adventurous girl.
You know, it's on my list, but I have not made it. I will confess.
Well, it's really a time warp. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an old drive-in that was built in 1962 at the very height of the Kansas City drive-in craze. And it hasn't changed very much. I mean, you have to go in. They only take cash. They take
I love it already.
They take your order behind bulletproof glass, And, you know, and they have essentially, you know, it's a very simple menu, but they have, I think, what, 14 different kinds of hamburger?
14?
Yes. And I'm trying to remember, let's see, did that make my list? I think, oh, yeah. They have kitty burgers, a taco burger, a pizza burger, a chili cheeseburger, in addition to a double, triple, single hamburger.
Do they do other things besides hamburgers?
Tacos.
Okay. Then I have been there. Yeah. And it is good.
Yeah, it is really good. And cheap.
Oh, yeah, yeah, cheap.
So,
Jenny, you mentioned an animal-style burger. And I think that's interesting name to me, because aren't all meat burgers kind of animal style, you know, eating animals?
Oh, no, 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 no. The phrase animal style actually came from In-N-Out Burgers, which is kind of a popular chain on the West Coast. And so I mentioned that in regards to the Third Street Social, which is the new restaurant that's opened up in historically Summit in the downtown area. And it's the owners of the Summit Grill and Bar who have basically opened that up.
But it's not the same menu, correct?
No, it's a totally different menu. But it's very creative, very tasty. The location itself, the space, is a historic. It was the historic Arnold Hall, and it's just beautiful, the redone they've done. But back to the burger. So they do have an animal style burger, and what makes something animal style is traditionally this kind of special sauce that's made with ketchup, mustard, mayo, a little pickle relish, and so they have an animal style burger that has their take on this kind of famous sauce. So I think that's really interesting. They also have a social burger, which you can get in a single, double, or triple, which I would hate to see what the triple looks like. It must be a monster. But all of those delicious at Third Street Social in Lee Summit.
Mary, do you have a traditional tasting one on your list?
You know, I'm the fat, juicy hamburger girl. If I'm going to eat a hamburger,
no,
I don't really want the
burgers for me.
Right, the thin, because I like my burger rare, medium rare, which obviously you can't do if you've got a really thin burger.
Okay.
My current favorite is at Boulevard Tavern, and it is just a standout. It is fabulous, and it's got this red onion shallot jam and a peppercorn mayo, great bun, and it's perfect. I mean, it looks like it should be.
I've had that burger. It's delicious.
And great.
I do. It's wonderful.
Meat to bun
ratio. It's
messy.
Yeah. It's really messy.
It is messy.
Why is that so important to have a good meat to bun ratio?
Well, just like with any sandwich, you don't want to just taste all bun or bread. And this just...
That's a good point.
Yep. Hits it right.
Are there any other good, well-proportioned burgers out there?
Graham and Dunn is another one. And theirs is another juicy, dripping down your arm kind of burger. They use Wagyu beef, and they have red onions that have been steeped in cola and smoked cheese and their own special sauce. And I always like a homemade bun, and they have one there too.
Steeped in cola, you said?
Yeah. It gives it a little...
sweetness?
Yeah. And it takes away the bite.
Huh. I don't know if that sounds good or not.
Well, you don't taste the cola. Okay. It's just like a lot of pork shoulders. They tell you to cook in cola.
Or Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, and you don't taste it, but it brings out some sweetness.
So could you all going back to that ratio of bun to meat, could you all tell me your level of importance of patty versus fixins, as in toppings, or are those just inseparable for taste?
I think you've got to have really good meat. Uh-huh. That's the criteria for me.
I've always hated that word fixins. You know, it's always rubbed me the wrong way.
I'm going to cross that off my list. No more fixins.
I don't know.
It's a little Chuck Wagon-ish.
Yeah, fixins.
Cookie is coming out and telling you that his fixins are ready. You know?
Oh, yeah. although I was at a hamburger place this week that they need to have a few more fixins, actually.
Mm. So, gotcha. Yeah. No, yeah, I think Mary's right. I think the bun to meat to bun ratio is important, and then cheese to me is just kind of like, can't even have a burger without cheese, I don't think, in my opinion. I mean, it always has to be a cheeseburger, and then everything else to me is just kind of gravy. I do need some sort of, I'm a mustard girl, so it's got to have mustard of some kind or some sort of sauce that's savory on it that I would enjoy. But everything else to me is just kind of bonus. I mean, I can eat a plain cheeseburger and be just as happy, I think, as one that's piled high with
fixins.
I'm glad you can say it with a straight face.
I did ride a covered wagon into work today, so that's why I say fixins. So, listeners, we are interested in where you can find the best burgers in town, whether it's beef, veggie, or bison. We're interested in all kinds. You can call us at 816-235-2888 or tweet us at KCURCST. Jenny, speaking of sauces, you said you're a mustard girl. Mm-hmm. I've noticed a trend of putting marmalade and jams on burgers.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. You know, it's kind of back to Mary's cola theory. I mean, even though you can't really taste the cola, there's a subtle sweetness to it. And particularly if it's a marmalade that has, like I'll use orange marmalade, it has the, you know, the little bits of orange peel. I think that really adds a nice counterpoint to everything else that's savory and sweet and meaty about a burger. So, yeah, I'm two thumbs up for marmalades or any kind of sweet, you know, sweet relish also has been added to burgers in the past. So,
and I always used to have ketchup on my burger, just like you always mm-hmm. love mustard. But nowadays there are so many great sauces that you really don't need that. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the one at Boulevard Tavern has the red wine shallot jam, and at Blue Stem, they in their lounge, they have one with an onion jam that's really good.
Well, and I think that's it. A savory jam that's kind of sweet and savory is probably right where it needs to be.
Well, jam is sort of the new trend, where a few years ago it was homemade ketchup, which mm-hmm. I always thought tasted exactly like bottle of ketchup.
Or aioli, you know, a fancy word for mayo, so...
Did any of you have marmalade jams on your burgers on your list today that included that? I think you did, Mary.
Yeah, the Boulevard Tavern and Blue Stem both did. And what? I really like that. I gravitate towards those now when I see them on the menu.
Jenny, what were some of your favorite sauces off your list that came with your burgers?
So I had to put kind of at least one more casual, you know, hamburgers really kind of can be very fancy and expensive with lots of interesting toppings, or it can be really just kind of plain and delicious and simple. And so the one I have on my list is from Helen's JAD, which stands for Just Another Dive in North KC. And that place is really a favorite of mine. They have a burger that actually Pete Doolin, who's another food writer in town, turned me on to. It's called the Northlander, and it's got a green olive aioli on it. So aioli is just kind of a fancy word for mayonnaise, and they put a little chopped green olive in it. And it really adds an interesting kind of salty, savory counterpoint to this really delicious. It's a thicker burger.
What kind of dive bar goes all out for that?
I'm telling you, they do lots of creative burgers there.
Yeah.
And they're inexpensive and delicious and really creative, so... I have to kind of give a shout out to them, just because I love the name too.
I'm happy that you told me what aioli is, because that's always good. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean aioli can come in kind of lemon and garlic. I mean, you've seen all kinds of flavors, but
homemade mayonnaise,
green
basically.
Olive is rare. I would tell you, so get yourself to Helen's.
All right, I'm going to talk to Dylan from Blue Springs, and he's going to tell us about the burger at the Green Room. Good morning, Dylan.
Good morning.
Can you tell me about your pick from the Green Room?
Yeah, it's the Cheesy Brownfield. It is by far the simplest burger on their menu. It's just like the traditional burger. It got a great bun to meat ratio, like you guys were talking about. And when I want just a burger, I ride my bike over to the Green Room and have just a burger at the Green Room.
So you're not looking for anything fancy?
No, I can get fancy any number of places, and they have tons of fancy burgers there. But when I want just a burger and, you know, bun, nice meat, well-cooked, and great side, that's where I go.
All right. Thanks for your call, Dylan. Has anyone tried the burger at the Green Room?
It's on my list. I love the Brownfield, too. But my favorite burger there is the original Tom Burger, because it's seared in a... I never pronounce this correctly. Worcestershire.
Yeah, just keep rolling it.
Yeah. And butter.
Worcestershire.
And which is a nice combination, I think. And it's a real, you know, lovely fattening burger. It also has a American cheese, bacon, and mayo. It's a, you know, good fattening burger.
Excellent. Any other good, like, what's the best bang for your buck burger, you think, on your list today? Good question. Well, while we think about that, I'm going to head to Larry in Independence.
Eat there when she went to high school,
Larry,
in the 60s.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hey, excellent. Can you tell me about your best burger pick in Kansas City?
Well, it may not be the best, but we like it. It's called Johnny Ray's Drive-In. It's in Lee Summit. It's kind of on the outer road. You can see it from 50 Highway. and it's just like a step back in time. It's small. It's got a horseshoe counter with stools you can eat there, or they do have a few booths, and they've got daily special double steak burgers is what I always get with everything on it. They come with crinkle fries and a drink. They're not that expensive. They're very consistent. And they're just a like a 60s-era drive-in burger would have been.
It sounds delightful. It sounds like the environment's almost just as important as the food for you, Larry.
Oh, it's looked that way. I think my wife went there back in the 60s when she was in high school, and it's been cleaned up and updated, but the same basic ownership and the same basic look ever since I've been going there, which has been, I don't know, 30 years maybe.
I want to ask Larry, this is Charles Frusa, what you and your wife think about High Boy, since it's on my list. I love High Boy.
I like High Boy better than she does. Now, the burgers at High Boy and the burgers at Johnny Ray's are very similar. I think Johnny Ray's meat might be a little better. Okay. But it's the consistency
and
that we like.
Where is High Boy's?
It's on Blue Ridge Cove.
Oh, High Boy's has got two or three locations. We go to the one here in Independence on
Blue Ridge
24 and River.
Well, it's also a classic. It hasn't changed in years, and they really do.
Oh, yeah, it's been the same. I've been eating at High Boy's forever, and I love their onion rings. I shouldn't eat them very often for cholesterol reasons, but
I think they have the best milkshakes in Kansas City. The best.
Wow.
They make a peach float, too, that is pretty good.
Ooh, I'd love that.
Thanks for your call.
Peach knee high, you know, and they're pretty good.
All right. Those are really good suggestions. Thanks for your call, Larry.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
All right. Going back to our best bang for your buck burger, who'd like to take that one?
Well, Blue Stem might be a contender because it's so reasonably priced when you consider you're at Blue Stem and you've got a James Beard Award winning chef.
It's on their happy hour menu.
It is on their happy hour menu and then their lounge menu all day. So that might be my
What's it taste like?
Well, it's just
it's a quality burger.
It's a quality burger. It's got Gruyere and then the onion jam and just very fine meat.
Okay.
And great french fries, I'm
Coming up after at the end of the hour, we're going to cover sides besides fries, which Mary Block is not so happy about. She's a big french fry lover.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do we have another bang for your buck burgers?
I do. In fact, when I used to be the most broke about, 20 years ago, on my way home from, I was working in Johnson County at the time, and I would always stop at Dixon's Chili on 75th Street. Because people know that place for its chili, which I never thought was all that good. But they have great, moderately priced cheeseburgers. I mean, they are great. They're delicious. They're made to order. And I think they're really reasonably priced. I mean, you know, I never feel guilty about going home with a bag of them. I mean, you know, I get one cheeseburger for me and one for my dog.
Absolutely. Well, another great burger place around the corner from that is Bourbon Barrel.
You know what? That is really good. But it's not a cheap burger.
No. It's not a value. I mean, it's reasonably priced, about like all of them.
What's so great about the Bourbon Barrel? What's it taste like?
They actually have, their whole menu is burgers. I mean, they obviously have a full bar as well. But I think the most important thing is that they really do, 20 different burgers, 25 different, several different ones, every kind of topping you'd want, every kind of style fixin. Of burger, every kind of fixin' you'd want.
Excellent.
Yes, exactly. So I think it's just the breadth. I mean, if you're looking for a creative burger, that's a great place to go. And I think they have chicken and fish as well. You know, they have different options.
Well, I wanted to ask you, panel and Hannah, what about that? It's sort of a sub category in the burger thing, patty melts. Because I've always liked them for one reason. I love rye bread.
Mm-hmm.
But two, the bread to meat ratio is just right.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's
not one of those big old, you know, yeasty buns. I love rye bread and onion on a burger.
So I don't know that I'd consider a patty melt a burger, which is why away from it for this show. But I have to tell you, if given the choice, I'd have a patty melt any day of the week.
I have fond memories of eating them at Denny's at 2 in the morning when I was in college after probably too much to drink, and it tasted really good.
Did you eat a bunch of French fries with them?
That I don't remember, but the patty melt stood out.
Yep.
Well, Craig from Lee's Summit would like to tell us about Johnny's Donuts on Prospect, who also has a great burger.
It's true.
Good morning, Craig.
Hey, how are you doing?
Excellent. Can you tell us about your pick?
Yeah, so this one was kind of a surprise to me. A friend of mine told me to go there, and it's now Mary won't like this burger because it is a thin burger. Kind of reminds me of like a 50s diners type place. But, and you know, sort of like the place Charles was talking about, they've got the bulletproof glass there, and the food comes through and a little carrier in the bottom. But don't let that dissuade you. I think it's a great tasting burger. They're very minimal on the extra things that they put on the burgers, I recall. It's just the mustard and pickle. And I really like the bun.
Mm.
It's just a really good, nice flavor of the bun. So the flavor, the burger, the bun works together. And while you're there, don't forget to pick up some of the donuts because those are outstanding too.
And remind us again where Johnny's is.
So it's in the, I want to say about 44th and Prospect on the west side of the road.
Excellent. Thanks for your Craig call. Or, oh my goodness, thanks for your call, Craig.
And I want to tell people that who may not have been there, I go there quite often. The look of the place looks, it's deceiving because it looks like, has this building, is it closed? I mean, you know, it's a pretty rundown building from the outside. It's impeccably clean inside. The service is great. The owner is in there, you know, making the donuts real early in the morning. And then I guess about 11, they start serving hamburgers. And the hamburgers are really inexpensive and really, really good.
Coming on from Patty in Prairie Village, she'd like to talk to us about the Julian at Brookside. Good morning, Patty.
Hello.
Hi. Can you tell us about your burger pick?
Yeah, one of my favorites is Julian and in Brookside because she grinds her own meat. The buns are brioche, and the fries are hand-cut. They're wonderful.
It really is a good burger.
What
it is.
What makes it stand out? What makes that your favorite burger joint?
You know, I don't eat burgers all that often, so when I want a burger, I want something really, really good. And I like the thickness because it's a thick burger, not a thin burger. It just, you know, the atmosphere, the fries are great. It just the difference in the taste since she grinds her own meat, it's just phenomenal. Great burger.
Excellent. Thanks, Patty. That sounds like a Mary Block burger to me.
It is. She's got it spot
well,
on.
Well, it's not summer until you've sat on her patio and had one of her cheeseburgers and great fries.
Yep.
I mean, that's really, it's a Brookside tradition, I think.
Our last show about burgers was in 2015, and I'm just wondering, what's been your favorite discovery burger-wise new thing since then?
You know, in addition to the Boulevard Tavern, which I mentioned, I love the one at Cleaver and Cork. It's in the Power and Light, and Alex Pope provides the meat for it from a local pig. And his food truck, by the way, Pigwich, has a really good burger too. But what I love about the one at Cleaver and Cork is that it's topped with fried cheese curds. So instead of your traditional slice of cheese, you've got these cheese curds on top, as well as sweet onion mustard and a porcini aioli. And the meat is great. The whole thing works really well together.
We have another caller who's also got some really good toppings to complement what Mary just told us about. Good morning, Eric from Overland Park.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good. Can you tell us about the burger at Red Door Grill?
Yes. So it's the meat's all from McGonagall's. So, you know, it's the combination of, like, brisket, short rib, all that stuff. I go to Austin, Texas a lot. There's this place called Hop Dottie's that I love, so I compare all my burgers to that. So this one is real simple. It's got a cheese fritter on it, so it's fried cheese, and then it's got Gruyere. It's all cheese, the burger, and bacon, and that's it. So it's just one of those, like, the meat is amazing, the bun is amazing, and then you've got fried cheese and bacon on it, and it is just phenomenal.
Excellent.
So healthy sounding.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, my cardiologist would be thrilled.
To counter that, though, you were talking about Bergen Barrel. They've actually got some really good veggie burgers, too.
Right. That brings us to our next topic. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, thank you.
So what are some of your best veggie burger picks out there?
Mine, my all-time favorite is Eden Alley. They've got a really good. I hate to even say this, but it's a meaty kind of veggie burger. You know, it doesn't taste like chopped vegetables or anything horrible like that. It tastes like you're biting into something, at least with the heft of meat, not the taste of it.
One of the veggie burgers that I first liked here was Blanc, and I think they still have a really good one. It's a lentil burger, and it's just interesting because there's some curry. They've got a spiced yogurt, cucumber, onion salad, and avocado, and it doesn't fall apart, which is nice.
So my veggie burger pick actually is in Lawrence, and I am late to sing the praises of Burger Stand at the Casbah, but I will sing it today for sure. If you want beef, get their Kobe burger. I mean, juice running down your arm, absolutely fantastic. But you cannot pass up their menu of, I think, about 4 or 5 different veggie burgers that they do, each one featuring a different kind of bean. There's a garbanzo bean, a black bean, a lentil, and one more bean I'm forgetting.
What do you think? So I know... correct me if I'm wrong, but I think veggie burgers kind of skewed towards more grain or more bean, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can have mushrooms too. Actually, shiitake, that's the other one that they have there at the Burger Stand. So yeah, I mean, and the James Beard Foundation in New York City actually did a blended burger contest this year with chefs across the country where 25% of the burger had to be mushroom-based, and then the rest could be any beef that you choose. So I think we're going to see more and more of this blended burger as we're trying to step away from eating so much meat, so...
And I'm with you on those burgers at the Casbah.
Yeah, the lentil, or all those burgers, actually.
I love the black bean burger, and they're great about switching out the condiments. And they have a beef burger that's called their Fire Burger that has habanero cactus jam and avocado, and I just asked them to put that on the black bean burger instead.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Delicious.
I didn't see any veggie burgers on your list, Charles.
And you never will. I mean, I'm
and they certainly won't have fixins on them.
I you know, every once in a while, I will, by some inexplicable reason, be drawn to order a veggie burger, but not often.
I think the key is that it has to be made in house. I mean, I'm done looking at frozen, Boca burgers on a menu and acting like that's a veggie burger. That is not.
Yeah, like when the steam coming off of them is the frozen kind.
I'm telling you, if you had to nuke it to put it on my bun, I don't want it. So.
KCUR Central Standard is taking one more break, but don't go anywhere, because in just a minute, we'll be breaking all the rules for what traditionally sits next to a burger. I'm talking about sides besides fries. If you have a suggestion, call us at 816-235-2888 or tweet us at KCURCST. I'm Hannah Copeland. Stay tuned. Good morning. This is KCUR Central Standard, and we've been talking about the best burgers around Kansas City, and now we're exploring sides besides fries. I'm Hannah Copeland, in for Gina Kaufman, and sitting hungrily with me are the food critics Charles Ferruza, Mary Block, and Jenny Vergara. You can chime in with your best suggestions of the sides besides fries at 816-235-2888 or tweet us at KCURCST. I'm going to start off and read a tweet from Travis who says, "I prefer potato chips to fries, but also love me some baked beans." Jenny, you have a theory that back in the early days of burgers that fries were almost a necessary side to burgers. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, I mean, our troops were introduced to them during World War II when they were in Europe, and there was a restriction on meat, and potatoes were cheap and plentiful, and so they started frying up French fries to go with the smaller patties, basically, that you were getting in Europe. And I think how that translates today, all of us were really challenged to find something other than fries to recommend today. And I think how that translates today is that hamburgers used to be very small, and you used to get a very small sack of fries to go with them. I mean, that's traditionally, White Castle is the original fast food chain that supposedly put hamburgers and French fries together when the boys came back from World War II. They're credited for doing it. And so I think today with these giant gourmet burgers, we have to ask ourselves, do we need a giant basket of fries? We may want them for sure. I mean, they're delicious, and I'm certainly a fry lover. I don't want to go on record as saying I hate fries, but I just think that it's kind of a conversation that should be had, which is why we see fries and hamburgers together.
Well, it's funny. Hamburgers, cheeseburgers, are a diner staple, and traditionally diners would, if they didn't offer French fries, they would have the traditional diner side dishes. And I don't know if I was at Town Topic or some other diner, but I had my cheeseburger with cottage cheese.
Whoa.
And it was actually really nice. It was the coolness, the coldness of the cottage cheese with the hot burger. And for some weird reason, I thought, this is healthier.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like sure. a diet plate. They probably don't put a bun on it, and then you eat a little patty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it wasn't a diet plate for me.
What's a diet plate?
Well, usually no carbohydrates. Right.
Right. Yeah. It would just be the burger and maybe a tomato or something, and then a side of cottage cheese.
Cottage cheese, yeah.
And Mary, you are a French fry connoisseur, so do you believe in this theory?
Well, I definitely think you ought to have French fries with your hamburger, but there are times when I know the fries aren't the best thing to order at any given restaurant, and I am a sucker for homemade potato chips, and there are some great homemade potato chips in Kansas City. Graham and Dunn, which is a bread and butter concept, so Urban Table, they all have really good French fries. And Pigwitch down in the East Bottoms, their sandwiches all come with homemade potato chips, and they are definitely worth eating.
So still potatoes.
Still potatoes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And still fried.
It's hard to get away from a potato. Even if you say potato salad, it's still still somewhere in the ballpark. So,
Jenny, what were some of your alternatives?
Yeah, you know, the Oliver, which is another bread and butter concept that opened up recently on the Country Club Plaza, they are serving borracho beans as a choice. And borracho basically means drunk. So these are beans that are cooked down traditionally in beer with a little bacon. And they're delicious. So if to the caller that loves baked beans, you might want to get into the Oliver and try the burger and borrachos.
Yeah. Charles?
Well, you know, usually the options are few when it comes to sides, like a side salad or coleslaw. And I'm trying to think what and cottage cheese, what else is there?
Well, onion rings would be another option. And I find a lot of the barbecue restaurants have really good onion rings. Jack Stack, Oklahoma Joe's, Danny Edwards, and that's a nice alternative.
An onion ring, an onion ring is a French fry without the potato.
It is in the same family, I think, for sure. You know, probably the most creative one I've seen has been at Ollie's, which is down on Martini Corner, and they will offer a side of fried chicken wings with your hamburger. So if you're really ready to call your cardiologist, I think that's the way to go. But I don't know. It could be good. And there's like a 5 or 6 different sauces that come with it, too.
We have a tweet from LNB. Why would you want anything other than fries ever? In all caps, !! On a more sensible note, fried Brussels sprouts are amazing. Thanks for that tweet, LNB.
Well, I'm with Ellen on the why wouldn't you have French fries?
There is a place that I wrote down, Blue Burger in Lee's Summit. It used to be Blanc Burger at one point, ran that place, I think. But it's now been taken over by someone else. They have roasted Brussels sprouts as a side that you can get with their burgers. So it exists. She's right. It's out there.
Mm-hmm. Charles, did you have a thought? Side besides fries?
You know, I would love to have Brussels sprouts, even sautéed, as a side. I'm trying to think of something, you know, unexpected and creative, and it's just not coming to me. But c'est la vie.
Well, kale chips at Blanc Burger
right.
is another really good one that I've had before, actually, in an attempt to be somewhat healthy, although they come with a little bit of kind of lemon garlic dipping sauce that's really good. And I'm a fan of the Parmesan, you know, roasted kale chips. So
it must be something about the salt, because all yep. these sides have salt in common. It must go well with a burger.
And yeah, except for the cottage cheese.
Yes, exactly. Well, we don't count that.
No,
cottage cheese has a lot of salt in it,
though. Yeah, it actually does. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have to leave it at that. Critics, thanks for being here. You can find them all on Twitter. Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Hannah.
Mary Block of Around the Block, thanks for coming in.
Great to be here.
And Charles Ferruza of The Pitch.
I'm so happy to be here.
It's been fun. You can listen to this show and check it out, our list of critics' picks that we talked about today, plus plenty of others that we couldn't fit into the broadcast at kcur.org/centralstandard. We'll have that up by the end of the day for all of your burger eating needs this weekend. That's kcur.org/centralstandard. You can keep the conversation going on Twitter. We're at KCURCST, and I'm at Hannah E. Copeland. Monday at 10 a.m., KCUR continues auditioning programs for a possible spot in our lineup. Join us on Monday for Dinner Party Download.
KCUR Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross on Fridays with Jen Chen. Our team also includes Andrea Tudhope and Suzanne Hogan. We get lots of help from our intern, Anna Strula. Linda Scher ran the board for us this week, and our music is by Spoonbender Labs. Gina Kaufman is on leave. I'm Hannah Copeland. Up to Date is coming up next. Go grab a burger. You deserve it.